Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back. I'm delighted to see you. I realize that usually afternoon programs are not very well attended for whatever reason, but I'm delighted to see so many of you who have chosen to come back. And my prayer is that God will reward your sacrifice, which is not much of a sacrifice, but he will reward you for giving time to him. You know, God is a "you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours" kind of God. But he begins by scratching ours first by having sent Jesus Christ. Are you with me? "I honor those who honor me," says God. It's a principle by which he functions. Always remember, God is a God of principle. He works certain ways. And a careful study of God's word will unearth. You can excavate, dig up, and dig out, and dislodge from the quarry of eternal truth certain gems about how God functions. And God is a God of principled behavior. In other words, if you obey, God blesses. That's guaranteed. If you disobey, he punishes. That's guaranteed. If I confess, he forgives. That's guaranteed. If I ask for money, he may not give it. That's not guaranteed. If I ask for grace, that's guaranteed. Are you with me? So the more we study the Bible, the more we understand how God functions. And God really is a God who wants us to know. And I will get into that as this afternoon's program progresses. Who is with us this afternoon? You were not here this morning. Raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you very much for coming. Anyone with us who's not a Seventh-day Adventist? You're not a Seventh-day Adventist, you're visiting with us. Just raise your hand. All right. They came this morning, did not come back. Okay. That's your fault. You should have tied them to the pews, make sure they came back. You know, it's a... Well, let me explain what I mean. The Bible says in Genesis 19, verse 1, "And they came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground and said, Behold now, my lords, enter, I pray you, into thy servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early in the mornings and go on your way. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." The Bible says he pressed upon them greatly. So next time visitors come in the morning, press upon them greatly. Let them know our survival depends on your return. And they may just come back and join the baptismal class. What do you say? Amen. The church exists for people's salvation. It doesn't exist to show off the latest fashion, build fancier churches, or a place to meet nice people. It is a place where people come to be saved from sin, to be healed from their hurts, to learn that any problem they have can be solved. All right, enough of that. Whenever you look uncomfortable, I feel badly for you. So let me leave that alone. Do three things for me before I begin. Favor number one, what's that? All cell phones turned off. Who has not yet turned off a cell phone? May I see your hand? All right, please, my dear sister, turn them off now. So God is not disgraced and disrespected while he seeks to bless us. Favor number two, while I'm speaking, pray for me. And all I want you to say is, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. And favor number three, I want you to think. Let us pray. Holy Father in heaven, as I deliver the word to your people, grant me your spirit. Grant me utterance. I think of Exodus chapter 4, verse 12, when you said to Moses, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." Be with my mouth, be with my mind. Teach me what to say. Help me to say it clearly. Help me to seek your glory and nothing else. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians. Now this will be an interactive session. So when I ask you a question, you must answer me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll read together, if we have the King James Version, verse 1. Are you ready? Reading together, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that he should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Stop. Let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, let's read verse 16. Now, only those on the left side, my left, you read verse 16. What does it say? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Stop. That's fine. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, those of you on my right side, I want you to read verse 15, verse 16, verse 19. Are we ready? On my right side. Verse 15, what does it say? Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? That's enough. Go to the next verse. What does it say? What? Know ye not that he which is joint and harlot is one flesh? All right, let's go to verse 19. What does that say? What? Know ye not that your bodies are the... All right, that's fine. We read a few more verses, and I want you to tell me what I want you to see in the verses. Let us go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Do we have that? Left side, read for us. But I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. That's fine. Let us go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Left side again. Read for us. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that 1,000 years is with the Lord as one day, as 1 day as 1,000 years. All right. Let us go to 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6, on my right side. Let's read the second sentence, not the first, the second sentence of 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. What does that say? Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? All right, stop. What do I want you to... Not yet. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, all of us will read together. Ephesians 1, we shall read from verse 15. Ephesians 1, reading from verse 15. Do we have that? Read nice and loud. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I can't hear you reading. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, everybody, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Keep reading. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now stop. I want some intelligent, perceptive, prescient person to tell me what is it I wanted you to observe from all those verses. One smart person on either side. God does not want us to be ignorant, but let's flip that and express it positively. God wants us to know and to be wise. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3, 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Verse 16. What? Know ye not that he which is joint and harlot is one flesh? Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them that are asleep. The Bible wants us to know. In other words, there is no room in God's plan for ignorant people. who have the opportunity to know. Say John 17:3 with me. You know it. Are you ready? And this is life eternal. Finish it. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. 2 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 1. Let's go there. 2 Peter 1, reading from verse 1. The Bible says what? Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of whom? To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Read verse 2 nice and loud. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now grace and peace be multiplied. Give me a synonym for multiplied. Increased abundance, yes. The Bible says grace and peace are multiplied in our lives through the knowledge of whom? God and Jesus our Savior. Verse 3, nice and loud. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Finish the verse. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. My friends, my brothers and sisters, an ignorant Christian is a member of the church, but not a child of God. And by ignorant, I mean someone who refuses to study God's word. Listen to me carefully. I know most people come to church to hear that they're nice, and God loves them, and Jesus loves them, and all the angels love them. Fine. But you need to hear some harsh things sometimes. Someone who is willingly ignorant of the word of God may be a member of the church, but not a child of God. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. Willful, deliberate, intentional ignorance. I am too busy. I have no time. I have other responsibilities, the benefits of which seem clearer to me and more obvious than to study Revelation 14, 6 through 12. Ignorance is death. Knowledge received into the life is life. Let me say that again. Ignorance is death. Knowledge received into the life is life. Education, page 126, paragraph 4. Listen carefully to these astounding words. The creative energy that called the world into existence is in the word of God. This word imparts power. It begets life. Power to do what? It's interactive. Power to do what? I'll ask you a question to help you answer this easy question. Are there some sins with which you struggle? Are there some weaknesses with which we struggle? We love God, but we struggle. This word imparts what? Power. It begets life. What does beget mean? To give birth to. Listen again. This word imparts power. It begets life. Every command is a promise. Accepted by the will. A conscious choice for God's word. Received into the soul, it brings with us, with it, the life of the infinite one. Who is the infinite one? God. Listen to me. Accepted by the will, received into the soul, it brings with it the life of the infinite one. Do you understand the gravity of what I'm saying? The very life of God is communicated to us through his word. The very life of God. It transforms the nature and recreates the soul in the image of God. This word. God's desire for us is to know. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, we'll read verse 13. 1 John 5. I want all the ladies to read with me. If you have my version. Are we ready? Ladies, read. These things have I written to you that believe on whom? The name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have what? And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. We are supposed to know. A relationship with God cannot be based on guesswork. Because there's no peace. There's no sense of security. If you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you're guessing, does he love me? Where is your security? You have none. Because when he's absent, where is he? You want to know that man loves you, that woman loves you with an exclusiveness that almost as if no other woman on the face of the earth exists, or man. Now you are secure. And so the Bible says that ye may know and not guess that ye have eternal life. Now, eternal life is in Christ. Stay in 1 John chapter 5. Let's read verse 11 of 1 John 5. What does it say, everyone reading? This is the record that God hath given to us. Eternal life. Where is it? And this life is in his Son. But where is his Son? Ah, come on, you're Seventh-day Adventist. Where is his Son? In heaven. Doing what? Among other things, interceding for sinners. He is conducting his high priestly ministry, his intercessory work, which we need to understand so that we can live with confidence spiritually. That's where he is. Now, his Son is human, also God, but human. Because the Son is also human, he cannot be everywhere. Now, follow my reasoning. Christ cannot be everywhere. Because he is chosen to keep human form. He still has it. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5, the Bible says, there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. About 25 years after Christ's manner, Paul wrote that. Colossians 2 verse 9, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ is still physical. When he rose from the grave in Luke 24, and the disciples will not believe he is real, he said, doth the spirit have flesh and bones as ye see me have? And he showed them his hands. He said, handle me, I have flesh and bones. He went up to heaven with flesh and bones, not as a spirit. Because of that, Christ cannot dwell in us in his present condition. He dwells in us in another way. John 15:7 tells us how. Let's go there. John 15, verse 7. Do you have that? What does it say? If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now let's stop. Let's go to earlier verses so we can get some help in understanding verse 7. Let's read verse 4. Nice and loud. Abide in me. And I in you. Now that's the way it functions. Keep this in mind. You'll need it when you get to verse 7. Abide in me and I in you. Read verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. So we have this expressed again. It is you in me and I in you. Now listen to verse 7. If ye abide in me, do we have that in verse 4? Do we have it in verse 4? All right. Do we have that in verse 5? Yes. Now keep reading. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Do we have my words abiding in you in verse 4? Literally. No. Do we have it in verse 5? But what do we have? No. I'm not letting you go until you get it. Do not embarrass me. Listen to verse 4. That's why we... Let me come close and try to look as threatening as possible. It won't work. Listen to verse 4 of John 15. Now, read with me. abide in me and I in you. Stop. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, ye the branches. He that abideth in me, which is the same thing as abide in me in verse 4. And I in him. So we have 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you. Now read verse 7. If ye abide in me, do we have that in 4? Do we have that in 5? And my words abide in you, do we have that in 4? No. Do we have that in 5? No. What do we have in 4? I in you. Then what does I in you mean in verse 7? My words abide in you. Then how does Christ abide in us? Through his word. I heard one amen. Can I have 2 more? Do you love God's word? What did I just say about John 15, 4, 5, and 7? What did I say? This side. Say that again, sister. We'll answer the question now. Through his word. Because let's go to John 14. Go to John 14. What I'm trying to do is to develop in your heart a love for God's word and the excitement of Bible study. The thrill of putting 2 and 2 together and coming up with what? What happens when you put 2 and 2 together? What do you get? You get 4 in this world, but Bible study gives you 22. Huh? Now let's go to John. What did I say? John 14 from verse 16. Read with me. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now pause. Listen to the language of John 14, 16. When you read the Bible, look at every word, every phrase, every clause, every sentence. Put them together brick by brick. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you, what's the next word? Now, another must presuppose what? If I say, let me give you another drink, what am I saying? You had one before. Are you with me? Sister De Leon, where are you, Sister De Leon? Oh, there she is. When you were having lunch, I just had a drink. So she brought me a drink. God bless her and keep her young forever. Come on, say amen. Then half an hour later, she brought me another drink. But when she brought the first drink, she couldn't say, Pastor, I've brought you another drink, because that was the first one. Are you with me? Now, when Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you what? Another comforter. What is he implying? That they had a comforter before this other one. Who was that first comforter? Jesus Christ. Now, the word another in Greek, there are 2 words for another in Greek. One means another of the same kind. The other word means another of a different kind. For example, if I had a banana, which I love very much, and I said to someone, give me another fruit, the person can give me an orange. Are you with me? And the person would have complied with my request. Another fruit. But if I said, give me another banana, and the person brought me a pineapple, then something is wrong. Now, when Jesus said another comforter, he's like saying, you had one banana, we'll send you another banana. In other words, the other comforter coming will be just like me. Are you with me? In other words, another of the same kind. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may dwell with you, abide with you for how long? Forever. In other words, through the Spirit of God that inhabits God's word, Christ dwells in us. Let's keep reading. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, with you, and shall be in you. Finish that verse for me, or read the next verse. I will not leave you comfortless. I will. But what is he getting ready to do? To go. Well, how does he come to us? Through the Spirit. But remember what he says in John 6:63. Go there with me. John 6:63. Go there with me. If I were to entitle this working presentation, I'd call it the Word. John 6:63. Let's read. See something about the Word of God. It is the Spirit. Do you have John 6:63? Do we have it? Read with me. It is the spirit that quickeneth. What is quickeneth? Give life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, when you receive God's word by faith, what are you receiving? The spirit of God and the very life of God. And since I and my Father are one, where is that found? John 10:30, blessings upon you. When you receive the Spirit of God, because according to Romans 8:9, the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God are the same thing. Are you with me? The Spirit of Christ represents Christ. The Spirit of God represents God. When you have the Spirit of God, which comes with the Word, you have Christ. But when you have Christ, you have something else. Let's go to John 17. And I hope you believe what you read, because this is absolutely mind-blowing. And if the Christian will simply accept God's word and submit to it all the power that's available to us. John 17, let's read verse 20. Read nice and loud. Neither pray for these only, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Keep reading, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and... Now, Jesus says, the Father is in him, and look at the verse you just read it. The Father is in him, and he is in the Father. I in them, thou in me, that they all may be made one in us, and that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Skip to verse 23. What does that verse say? I in them, and thou in me. Now, if the Father is in Christ, and Christ is in us through the Word, who is in us? The Father, come on, and the Son. But if the Father is in us and the Son is in us, who is also in us? The Holy Spirit. Now, when we accept God's Word by faith and we receive it into the life, what do we have? The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, they represent all the power of heaven. Now, what problem do I have that can stand up to that power? Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? When you receive God's word, when Christ was tempted in the wilderness, let's go to Matthew 4. You'll observe we've been spending a lot of time in John. If you want to learn about the Father and the Son and that glorious connection, study the Gospel of John. John is so different, it is not considered one of the synoptic Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John see things alike, but John wants to present Jesus Christ as absolutely divine. He's God. And therefore, he's all that you need. Matthew 4, reading from verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, that's the devil. That's the devil's word. But he answered and said, Matthew 4, verse 4. It is written. What does that mean? It is written. If it is written, that cuts out what? If it's written, it cuts out uncertainty, doubt, hearsay, rumor. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. Let me put your minds at ease. He didn't say a man shall not live by bread at all. Are you with me? The Lord knows we have to eat, drink. Man shall not live by bread alone. Bread is not the priority. Physical food is not the priority, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let me take some time. I have until 4 o'clock and give you a study. What did Jesus mean by that? What did he mean by every word?
Is the word fornication in the Bible? Is it in the Bible? Is adultery in the Bible? Are we supposed to live by those words? What does the Bible mean? Man shall live by every word. Now, the Bible is really a fascinating book. And I love it above all books combined, as Ella White said, we should. Let's go to Galatians 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians. Who can recite the Bible books from Genesis to Revelation, all 66? You can? You can? Hmm? Did you say yes, no, or... Huh? Yes, come. Yes, now. You said yes. You shouldn't have said yes. Come. Come right here. Let the church say amen. All 66 books, stand up on higher ground, sister. All right. All 66.
Right now?
Right now.
Okay.
We won't be here tomorrow right now.
It's in a song, that's why.
Well, sing.
Okay. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Joshua, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Haggai, Zechariah. Oh, no. No, never mind.
I forgot. Try. Don't give up.
Okay. I'm nervous. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon.
Song of Solomon.
Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Jobson, Proverbs. Oh, man. Sorry, I'm so nervous. Okay.
Where have you gotten to?
Okay. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon.
Ezra, Isaiah.
Isaiah, Jeremiah.
Lamentations.
Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea.
Joel,
Amos, Obadiah.
Jonah,
Micah, Nahum. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi.
Go on now. Second
Matthew,
verse.
Mark, Luke, and John, Acts. Oh,
Romans.
Sorry. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, Hebrew, and the book of James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd Jude, and Jude, and Revelation. I'm so sorry.
Say amen for the sister. We must try. Now you know you've got to go work on that. You've got to work on that. You see, in case you don't have a voice, you can say it. You work on that. Now, where did I send you to read? Galatians 5. Read verse 13 for me. Now, before you read verse 13, let's review what we read in Matthew 4:4. Don't go there, just listen. But he answered and said, read it with me now, man shall not say it, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Now, stop. Galatians 5:13. Who has that? Galatians 5:14, sorry. For all the law is fulfilled in... Stop. One word. Now, we want to understand what Jesus meant when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Did he mean every individual word? We need to answer that. Galatians 5:14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in... One word. Now, read what that one word is. Finish the verse. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How many words is that? Seven. The Bible calls that one word. Let us go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Someone on my right side will read for us. Let's read verse 26. Read verse 26 for us, nice and loud. Of Hebrews 12. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now hath he, keep reading, promise, saying, pause. Listen to what he is saying. Say it. How many words are those? Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but heaven also. How many words? 12. Listen carefully. Now hath he promised, saying, and that's what he said. Listen to verse 7. 27, sorry. Pause. What is Paul saying, or the writer of Hebrews? And this word, yet once more, what is he referring to? The 12 words used in verse 26. But he does not repeat all the words. He just uses the first three words, yet once more, to represent the 12. Here again, we have an instance where word refers to a statement. Are you with me?
Let's go to Matthew 12. Let's go to Matthew 12. Do you have Matthew 12? Come on, you must be able to find Matthew quickly. You have Matthew? Let's read verse 36. Someone on the left side, read 36 for me. Nice and loud. Matthew 12, 36. That every word, idle word, men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the judgment. Now, every idle word. What was the idle word Christ was referring to? Go to verse 24. Well, let's read from verse 22 of Matthew 12. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Now read the next verse for me. All the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Verse 24, nice and loud, come on. But when the Pharisees, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub. How many words? 10. That's what Christ is referring to in verse 36. Every idle word. That statement they made, that God is using the power of Satan to cast out demons. A whole statement is called a word. Are you with me? Go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Do you have Psalm 33? Let's read verse 6. The Bible says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Now, let's read where the heavens were made. The Bible says, by the word of the Lord. Genesis 1 verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. That's the word that created the firmament. What I want you to see is that very often in the Bible, word refers to a statement. Is that clear? All right, let's go back to Matthew 4 verse 4. This is a tough Bible study. Remember what that verse says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let's look at some instances where every word proceeded right out of the mouth of God. Let's go to Matthew 3. We read 16 and 17. But let's read 17. Jesus comes out of the water in 16, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and a voice saying what? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus, God spoke to the Son and to those who were around. That can't be what Jesus is referring to. But those words came right out of the mouth of the Father. Let's go to John 12. John 12. We read from verse 27, I believe. John 12, reading from verse 27. Read with me. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and shall glorify it again. Now, that's right out of the mouth of God. Is that what Christ was referring to? No. Let's go to Matthew 17. We read verse 5. This is the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew 17, verse 5. Read nice and loud if you have it. All the men read, only men. King James Version, do you have it? Men, start reading. While he yet spake, shadowed them, and a voice said what? This is my beloved Son, in whom, again, we have words right from the mouth of God. But God only spoke to the Peter, James, and John, who were on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus heard, Moses heard, Elias heard. That can't be what he's referring to. What other occasions were they when words came right out of the mouth of God?
Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Chapter 2. 1 John 2, verse 3. 1 John chapter, let's read 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, keep that in your mind as we read verse 5. There's now the opposite in verse 5. Let's read verse 4 again. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. Verse 5 says, but whoso keepeth his word. Is it word or words?
Word.
What is word in 5 referring to? The commandments. The commandments mentioned in verse 4. Go to John chapter 14. John 14. Let's read verse 15. You know it very well. It is a Seventh-day Adventist verse. We love to use it. What does it say? If ye love me, keep my commandments. All right. By the way, the only way to show love to God is to obey him. And he has given us that way. If you have someone you love, and it's a man's birthday, and he likes cologne, don't bring him broccoli. Are you with me? Bring him cologne. If the lady likes flowers, bring her flowers. Don't bring her, you know, a scrubbing brush. Bring her flowers. Are you with me? Scrub the kitchen. Bring her flowers. That's what she likes. Are you with me? God says, here's what I like. I like obedience. If ye love me, finish it for me. Keep my commandments. Read verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Does that sound like verse 15? Yes. Now go to verse 23. Because you know in 21, Judas, not Iscariot, saith unto him, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Verse 22. Verse 23, read for me. Jesus answered and said, if a man, he will do what? Wait a minute. What is words in verse 23 referring to? The commandments. Sometimes word or words refer to the commandments. Let me show you something else. Go to Matthew 4 verse 4 again. I have 30 minutes. I'll try not to take all of them. Matthew chapter 4. Let's read verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, finish the verse. Fine. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8. Let's read verse 3. Do you have Deuteronomy chapter 8, book number 5? Deuteronomy means second law because the law is repeated in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy. It's not God speaking this time, it's Moses recalling the law. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, and he humble thee, and suffer thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, finish the verse, that he might make thee know what? Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is where Jesus quoted from. Are you with me? Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. Let's go back to Matthew. Read verse 7. After the devil tells him, jump off the temple, what did Jesus say? Matthew 4 verse 7. Read that verse. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Go to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. Read verse 13. Read 16, sorry. 16, not 13. 16. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him at Massah. This is where Jesus quoted from for the second temptation. Go back to Matthew. Let's read verse 10. Matthew 4 verse 10. This is the third temptation. The devil offers him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Jesus saith unto him, what? Come on, nice and loud and clear. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Go back to Deuteronomy 6. Let's read verse 13 of Deuteronomy 6. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him
which is what Jesus quoted from with a little interpretation, you see. You'll observe that the responses of Jesus Christ all came from one book. What book was that? And they all came from between verse chapter 6 and 8. Now, this is important. Follow me closely. Don't sleep. If you think you'll sleep, stand up. The book of Deuteronomy may be divided into three major sections. Chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 4, verse 43. That covers a brief review of God's dealing with Israel. They got into trouble. God got them out. And it ends with an appeal, avoid idolatry and obey the living God. That's the first section, chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 4, verse 43. The second section, chapter 4, verse 44 to 26, verse 19. Which I think is the last verse of that chapter. That deals with moral and civil statutes and laws. Moral and civil. 26 ends what? I think verse 19 is the last verse in 26. Now, the third section goes from chapter 27, 1 to 31, 30. Are you with me? Okay. That deals with the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience. Then we have the death of Moses in chapter 34. We have blessings on the tribes in 33. We have the song of Moses in 32. Give me the three major sections again. Who can remember the first one? Deuteronomy 1:1 to 4:43. All right. You wrote it down, so that's legal cheating. It's okay. Okay. Bless you for that. Second section, chapter 4, verse 44 to 26:19. What does that deal with? Moral and civil laws. Third section, 27:1 to 31:30. What does that deal with? Largely the blessings of obedience, the curses of disobedience. Now, what is the largest of the three sections? The largest. Name from, tell me from where to where. 444 to 2619 is the largest. And you can find this laid out in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, which is the leading in that field of Bible study. That large section is subdivided into two smaller sections. Chapter 5 to 11 and 12 to 26. Now, 12 to 26 deals with laws that govern the priest, the king, purity, the tithe, worship, how to conduct war, your private life, and your social life. And the three feasts. That section, 12 to 26, covers laws governing the three feasts, purity, tithe, king, priest, prophet, how to conduct a war, private life, social life. 5 to 11 only deals with the Ten Commandments. They're given in 5 and then commented on from 6 to 11. The responses of Jesus came from that section that only deals with the Ten Commandments. Now, when Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word," he was referring to the Ten Commandments. Spiritual Gifts, Volume 4A, page 150. Paragraph 1. Christ refers to his Father's law. First, she quotes Matthew 4:4. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then she says, Christ refers to his Father's law. The words of God spoken from Sinai are the conditions of life. When Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word," he meant every commandment that God spoke. So Jesus, the loving Jesus, says man. What does man mean? Everybody. Including whom? Jesus. I think I heard someone say that. Including Jesus. He was a man, still is. In other words, he's saying, that's how I live. That's how everyone else should live. By every command that comes from the mouth of God. Question for you, do not answer me. How are you living? Question number two, answer me. Did you enjoy that study? Isn't the Bible sweet? Do you know God wants to reveal to you His will as you study? Would you like, how many of you are engaged to somebody? You're not engaged to anybody? How many of you have a boyfriend or girlfriend? You have one? You have one? You have one? You have two? Okay. Don't you wish sometimes you could read that person's mind? What is she thinking? Why did he do that? I wonder what he's thinking. I'd like to read his mind. Do you know the Bible gives us a mind reading strategy? Manuscript Releases, volume 10, page 148, paragraph 1. The mind of God can be known only through his word. You want to read God's mind? Patriarchs and Prophets, page 19, paragraph 2. By coming to dwell with us, Jesus was to reveal God both to men and to angels. He was the Word of God. Now catch the end of that quotation. God's thought made audible. What did I say? God's thought made audible. You want to read God's mind, study the Bible. And when you study the Bible, you're studying the mind of God. And in that activity, your mind comes into contact with God's mind. If that does not lower God's mind, it elevates yours. Councils for the Church, page 207, paragraph 6, Ella White writes, as a means of intellectual training, the Bible is more effective than any other book or all other books combined, your textbook, Encyclopedia Britannica, Encyclopedia Covina. The Bible is more effective than all of them combined. So when we don't study God's word, we hurt ourselves. Let me talk to the students. Some students, many of them, maybe most, they take time from the study of God's word to study their math and the history and whatever else they study for a degree. That prepares them for a job, not for eternal life. Did you hear what I just said? No, you didn't hear what I just said. We take time from life. Are you with me? To study for a degree that promises no life. But okay. Let me show you how you're hurting yourself. Mind, Character, and Personality, Volume 1, page 34, paragraph 2. Listen to these words. As in the case of Daniel. In the case of whom? In exact proportion as the spiritual character is developed, the intellectual capabilities are increased. Someone put that in modern English. Put that in Covina English, in Ontario English. What did I just say? As you grow in the knowledge of God's word, where do you also grow? Intellectual power. When you disregard God's word to go study your math, you hurt yourself. I'll give you another quotation that's related. Christ Object Lessons, page 125, paragraph 3, she writes, if the follower of Christ will believe his word and practice it, give me another word for practice it. You know the word I love. Obey. If the follower of Christ will believe his word and practice it, there is no science in the natural world he will not be able to grasp and appreciate. You're having a problem with physics? Go to God's word. You're losing your life over chemistry? Go to God's word. Huh? Your health is declining because of biology? Go to God's word. Hello, my says, if you study the word and believe it, it will give to you a capacity to understand the things of God. And science is the things of God. Do you see? When we ignore God's word, we deprive ourselves of intellectual development. And which person with common sense wants to do that? Because everyone wants to present himself or herself as smart.
But never say you're smart if you can't say, I take time for God's word. To neglect the word of God is to neglect life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Which life? Eternal life. Whose life? The life of God. Because only that life can conquer sin. I told you on Thursday night, take 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at night, take a passage, think about it. Let me expand on that, then I let you go. We said John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now you take that, having read it 10 times, literally. How long does it take to read that 10 times? And you start to think, you pray first, of course, you think, Father, what is that saying? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you think. You ask question number one, what is that verse saying? What is it saying? And you think, waiting for the Spirit to show you something, either then or later on. You think, remember Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, which sometimes mean all his word, doth he meditate day and night. You're thinking day and night. You can think of God while you do your work day and night. What is it saying? Haven't asked that question. You ask the question, is it saying something to me personally? Are you with me? Because God is the number one reason for Bible study is to find out what God wants you to do, not to win an argument. Let me say that slowly. The number one reason for Bible study is to discover God's will for your life, not to go in an argument or convert your mother-in-law. Are you with me? God's will for your life, that's number one. Because the more you and I live within God's will for us, the more effective we can be to others. The next question is this text revealing to me a sin I need to confess? You see, is it showing me? Or is it revealing to me a duty I need to perform? The next question you could ask, do I love this text so much I'd like to memorize it? Yes, no. Another question you may ask, how does this verse help me to understand another verse? So when you get down to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, now that 14 helps you understand that the Word in one is Christ who created and came. Another question you may ask, Father, what is there in this passage I can use to encourage someone in case I meet a depressed person? You just can't keep the light, it must shine. What is it that I can use? When you study with questions in your mind, the study becomes active. Because you're searching for the answer as you read. You're searching. The mind is alert. When you just read with no questions to answer, you go to sleep reading. You're sleeping with your eyes open. So ask questions. Adam, where art thou? Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? God is a God of questions. That's what I'm suggesting to you. 10 minutes. A young man came to me this morning. Or was it last night? Pastor, I'm so happy. Why? I did what you said. I read and I just felt so much better. The Bible affects all ages. The Bible is not just for old people. It's for anybody. Notice John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever. Black, white, tall, short, young, old, rich, poor, educated, ignorant. Whosoever believeth. I have never seen a youth sermon in the Bible. I've never seen a singles sermon. I've never seen a, you name the category into which we break ourselves, a divorcee sermon. All I find is the gospel. In John 6, when Jesus preached the gospel, and they were in the wilderness, and they had no food, the disciples brought food from whom?
A little boy.
We can't believe he was the only little boy listening to Christ. There must have been children all over, and they were listening. One of the prophecies for the last days is that he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to whom? And the children to them. The Bible says in the last days, all ages will come together. These divisions we have are artificial and unbiblical. Now you've got the youth against the old, and the old against the young, and the tall against the short, and the good looking against the rest. When we have that one and the self-same spirit, all ages are united. All economic backgrounds are united. All educational achievements are united. And that's when the world marvels. Cannot understand. How is it a PhD and a janitor function like that? And the Hispanic and the black and the whoever, name all the groups. And the Inuit and the African American. Did I leave out somebody? And the Asian and the Martian. And what is it that unites? The Word of God. Elohim said, it is the truth that makes men one and breaks down national prejudices. The truth, not Operation Push. The truth. And so today at 12 minutes to 4, I recommend to you the Word of God. And I want my conscience clear when I leave. This is your life. Listen to me, study it. Practice it. Obey it. If you do what I just recommended, the Word will change you. Are you with me? Psalm 119 verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? Finish the verse. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The Word of God in you. One more quotation and I'm finished. I'll close the book. Christ Object Lessons, page 100, paragraph 1. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The scriptures are the great agency in the transformation of character. If studied and obeyed. Until I die, I will preach, obey. Until somebody shoots me in the pulpit. I will preach, obey. Because when God came down to Adam, he said, did you do what I told you not to do? Did you disobey? If studied and obeyed, the word of God works in the heart. Why in the heart? Out of the heart comes good or evil. Subduing. What is subduing? Bring it under control. Put in a headlock, you see. Every unholy attribute. Every unholy attribute. You have plans for tonight? After sunset? If you read the Word of God first, you may change those plans. Are you with me? You didn't like that? Tell you again. Now I know you don't like it, I'll tell you again. If you take some time for God's Word just before the sun sets, and you read and say, Lord, speak to me, you may be convicted to change the plans you have for tonight. You know how strange it is to Adventists to discuss a Bible study on Saturday night? What's wrong with you? Are you a fanatic? We play Scrabble on Saturday night. We go to the mall on Saturday night. We watch the games on Saturday. We do everything on a Bible study on Saturday night. What's wrong with you? No, nothing's wrong with the person. The person just has spiritual tastes. That's all. And the closer we come to Christ, the more we want his word and nothing else. And so may God bless. Well, before I say that, how many of you made a commitment Thursday night to spend 10 minutes in God's word? Can I see your hands? You were here. You made that commitment. How many of you forgot to do it? Raise that guilty hand, however manicured it may be. Raise it. I come. You ought to raise it. I know you forgot. Listen to me. God forgives, so do I. Try again. How many minutes did I say? 10 measly minutes. Tonight, before you sleep, give that to God. And fall asleep with the Word of God as the last thing on your mind. Are you with me? Not some show you saw on the Word. First thing in the morning, bathe your mind in the Word.
Then go face the world. What's the point? You face the world for half the day and then you study the Bible at one. After Satan has you limping, you study the Bible at one. No, study it first, then go face him. Are you with me? Come on, say amen. How many of you will do that tonight? Just 10 minutes, 10 lousy minutes, 10 measly minutes. Okay, hands down. Your hands are like that. God have mercy on you. Stand up, let's pray before you break my heart. Let me say, I love you. You're God's people. I love you because I'm commanded to love you, but you also look lovable. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another. So I do love you, and I'm happy to love you. That's why I'm insisting, make God's word your chief menu choice. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Memorize some Bible passages. Have them. I keep saying I'm finished. Let me say this. The reason why most Christians don't memorize, two reasons. They have no desire. And they have no desire because they don't appreciate the value. Who was I talking to? Somebody. And I said, was it you? I don't remember. When you go to a gas station, and you buy gas, and you pay. If you don't use your card, you pay cash. When the change is a penny, what do you do? Most gas stations have a little what? Little container. What do you do with a penny? You drop it. Who's walking? You walk down, you see a penny, do you pick it up? Not if people are watching, no. But if you realize that's the first penny ever made in the United States, now that's not a penny, that's millions of dollars, you pick it up. Why? Because now you are familiar with what? The value. Now, Christians don't see the value. So they don't memorize the word of God. And they don't have their desire. When they were building the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11:4, and they said, go to, let us build us a city in the tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city in the tower, which the children of men builded. Verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. What is God saying? These people are so determined to build this tower. The only power that can stop them is me. Now, if you want to memorize some scripture and you're really determined, nothing can stop you. You know your telephone numbers, you memorize it. You know how to get from this church to your house, every left turn, every right turn, you memorize that. You know where everything in your house, ladies, you know where everything is in the kitchen, the knife, the fork, the spatula, the shovel, whatever. You know exactly where it is. Are you with me, ladies? Right or wrong? You memorize that. You can close your eyes and walk through your house. Exercise, spend some of that mental power on the Word of God. I recommend the King James Version. Pray first. Don't memorize isolated verses. Memorize a chapter. A chapter is one verse at a time. The world was built one day at a time. This place, brick by brick. One verse at a time. There's a young lady in Kenya. She wrote me. Didn't know who she was. In 3 years, I've seen her once. Writes me all the time. When she first began, I told her, memorize some scripture. No, I can't. I can't. I said, sister, memorize. No, I can't. I said, will you try? Just try. She said, okay. I gave her 3 John, 14 verses. When she got to verse 5, she emailed me, I am so excited. I know the first 5 verses. She finished 3 John. I gave her 2 John, gave her Revelation 15, Psalm 51, Isaiah 53, Isaiah 58, Psalm 34, Psalm 32, John 14. All of them, she just knocked them out. I said, sister, you need a greater challenge. I gave her the book of Jonah. She memorized the whole thing in 3 weeks. I gave another assignment. I forgot what it was. She's working on it now. The whole book of Jonah, just like that. Now she's aware of what she can do. And there's no going back for her, you see. She told me, she said, my life has changed completely so that my friends want to know what's wrong with me. People all want to know what's wrong when you get closer to God, you see. What's wrong with me? She said, all I do, I go about my business all during the day. I memorize, think of what I memorize, and pray. She said, I memorize, I recite and memorize all day.
My life has changed. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I didn't mean to speak so long. I hope I said something worthwhile for your glory and the blessing of your people. Dear God in heaven, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. The carnal nature hates truth. It hates truth. But Father, we are your children, so we're supposed to be spiritual. And we must worship you in spirit and in truth. The truth must be studied. Give us, dear God, a love for your word. Please, dear God, a love for your word. Because the word will change us. As your servant Ellen White wrote in Education 126, paragraph 4, the creative energy that brought the worlds into existence is in the word of God. That power is released through faith. Ah, Father, put that love in our hearts for the word. And hatred for the world. So we can say, as Jesus said to the disciples in John 4:32, I have meat to eat ye know not of. And that was the gospel he was preaching to that woman. Please, Father, bless every man, woman, boy, and girl. Draw us close to your bosom, dear Father. Help us to understand salvation is a personal relationship between you and the individual. Forgive our sins. Bless this church. Bless the leadership, dear God. Give us a burden to do your work, that through our efforts, energized by your power, many may come to know Christ. Father, the sun has not yet set. Keep us cognizant of that our behavior and our speech may reflect the fact that we respect the holy day and the holy God of that day. Hear this humble prayer. Save us when you come. In Jesus' name we pray. Let all God's people say, amen and amen. Our theme song for the final time.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.